Blessed good evening to each of you. As always, we are thankful that we have this opportunity to come together and to study from God's Word tonight. And before we get into our lesson, I want just to take time once again to thank the eldership and their leadership here and the deacons that works very hard in making sure that the needs of the congregation are met. I appreciate all of you and your hospitality. I thank Kathy and her daughters and son this afternoon, Nicole and her daughter, meeting with them. I appreciate so very much. But most importantly, I truly am thankful of the feedback and comments you have made concerning the lessons that has been brought to you each night. Last night I said that when we leave this building, let no one come to me saying that I guess I can't be entertained anymore. And what do you know? Don Wright started a problem. So I want to make sure that you understand that entertainment is not wrong. We can be entertained so long as it doesn't come in conflict with our worship and devotion to God. With that in mind, let us go to our Father and give thanks. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for this congregation, this group of people who love your word, are compassionate for one another and for truth. We thank you, Father, that we have this ability to stand tonight before your throne and to open the bread of life, to study, to see what you would have us to know as it relates to the life of Ananias. Father, we want to make sure that everything we do in this life as we strive to reach others is in accordance with your word. No gimmicks, no trick. We don't want to deceive people. We just want to share the gospel in its purest fashion. Help us tonight to recognize from that word principles that can help us to do just that. For this is our prayer that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Ananias and his courage. We're going to be talking about a man that is not often brought up. There's not much said about him other than the fact that he came to Saul, who later we refer to him as Paul the Apostle. And if you would ask me, could you name your favorite person in the Scriptures? One of the persons that I would like to lean upon is Ananias. I believe when we look at this man, you see a man who was filled with courage. A man who had some real humanistic ways. But despite that, he was filled with courage and was willing to do what God beckoned him to do. Now, courage has always been an essential characteristic of God's people. When you think of the word courage, what do you think? What do you have in mind? Well, courage, as is defined by Webster, is the mental or moral strength to venture, perseverance, and withstanding danger, fear, or difficulty. When you ask us, or when you think about what the world says as it relates to courage, some think that dominating people, bullying people, shutting someone down is something to look at and admire. But that's not courage as we look at it from the Word of God. We're not to bully people. We're not to threaten people. We're to be ones who are willing to go to people to share God's message in love, in a loving fashion. When we look at the Word of God, before the death of Moses, he told the children of Israel. He told the children of Israel that they were to be strong. Now, you can only imagine that the people of God trusted and believed in Moses. He was a strong leader. But Moses was going to go he was going to leave this earth. And he said to the children of Israel, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. What is he saying? He is saying to God's people, you need to have courage. Because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can have courage. Although I have been a leader among you for many years. Now I go the ways of the earth. But you be strong. You trust in the Lord, because in actuality, it was he who led you. We know what it means to have belief in leadership. I know that you appreciate your elders here. And it will be difficult if they were to just be dissolved. You appreciate their courage and their stand. And so you can imagine how Moses wanted the people to understand that you need to put your trust in God. You need to know that God is with you. And likewise, we read there in the book of Joshua, the first chapter, please. Joshua, when the Lord was speaking to Joshua and how that he was going to be there to lead God's people. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, beginning, please, as we are turning there in our Bibles. And the Bible says, here's God speaking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. You want to be successful in this life? Then get a hold of God's commandments. Don't turn from it, left nor right. You want to be courageous? Then look to God and His Word and stand upon His Word. And rest assured, God will be with us. And so tonight, brethren, I want us to notice a somewhat quiet man in his courage. And we want to look at the book of Acts, the ninth chapter. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 12 as we go through our study tonight. But we want to begin by looking at Ananias at verse number 10 of Acts 9. And I want you to notice something about Ananias and courage. The first thing we see here at verse 10 is that his courage, get it, caused him to be ready. Look at verse 10 with me together. Now there was a disciple named, at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. The Lord comes to Ananias. The Lord calls Ananias. And we see his response. His answer when the Lord called him was, here I am, Lord. Here this man's courage caused him to be ready. When we look in scriptures, this sounds like those of old. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 3 at verse number 10. 1 Samuel 3, you remember when God called Samuel. The Bible says, as we read there at verse number 10, 1 Samuel 3. And the Lord came and stood, calling us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Here's a man that we see that when God called, he was ready and willing to listen to God. In Isaiah chapter 6 at verse number 8. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Isaiah was called by God to go unto his people, Judah and Jerusalem. And to warn these people that God's going to bring calamity on them. And we see here as he tells us this vision. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Or what about Abraham? As we come to the New Testament, there in Hebrews, the 11th chapter at verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Wherein the Bible says this concerning our father Abraham. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So we see three individuals from the old, two from the Old Testament. When we see Abraham, that when the Lord called, they were willing to go. And something we can learn from Ananias is this: as God's people, today our courage must cause us to be ready to serve God. And I see that Ananias' courage caused him to be ready. We need to be ready to preach the gospel as Paul was ready. You know, in Romans chapter 1, you're familiar with Romans 1, at verse 15, when Paul said this: "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." He was ready. Why was he ready? I tell you, he had belief and trust in the Lord King Jesus. And so he was willing to do whatever the Lord called him to do. Let me ask you this morning, this afternoon, do you have that amount of courage to go when God calls you? Be honest. Has he called us? Yes, sir. If we had read the scriptures, we know that he tells us to go. But I'm afraid that many of us don't have the courage to go. We make excuses and we don't go. We need to be ready to answer every man. God is preparing us. He wants to prepare us to be ready. We look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 in our scriptures and verse number 15. The Bible says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." Listen, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Are you ready to give an answer as to what you believe and why you believe it? Are you ready? Am I ready? We need to be ready to do good to all men. As Paul said in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." Brethren, we need to be ready. And we need to have this courage that Ananias had when the Lord called him. He had enough courage to be ready. Something else we need to notice about Ananias and his courage. His courage caused him to ponder going where he normally would not have gone. Look at verse number 11 and 12. Acts chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. For the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Ananias, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." God tells this man to go. Perhaps he would not have gone to this place. But when God speaks and when God tells us to do something, people, we have to be ready to do it. And sometimes it takes courage to do so. Have you ever wanted to talk to a loved one, but you were afraid of what they might think? Have you ever wanted to talk to someone, a fellow employee, about what the gospel teaches, but you were too afraid to tell them? Have you ever been talking to your next door neighbor, but you could not muster up enough courage to talk to him or her about the gospel? All of this proves that we are human. And it proves that sometimes we don't have the courage that we need to have. And that may beckon another question: where is my faith? You see, a lack of faith causes us not to have courage, people. It's not that you're not prepared, but it could be that I don't have the courage because I lack faith in God. But you know, the Bible tells that the true believer, You know what the Bible says about the faithful and the true believer in God? Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Here's what the Bible says concerning those who would rest their faith in God. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Boy, I want that. I want to believe that. I want to have that within every fiber of my being as I stand to tell people concerning the good news of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is, folks, to be able to say that I don't have that spirit of fear. I need not to have that spirit of fear because of my faith in God. And I have the courage that I need to stand for God. What about you? You see, we need that type of courage to cause us to ponder going wherever we don't normally go. We need that type of courage to get us out of our comfort zone and to do things that we may never have dreamed that we could do. We need that type of courage to be evangelistic, to do things that God has beckoned us to do. We need that type of courage to challenge us to be all that God wants us to be. But I'm here to tell you tonight that sometimes we lack that courage because our faith is weak. But as we come back to the book of Acts, we notice something else about Ananias. And that is his courage caused him to be realistic. There in Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 14. His courage caused him to be realistic. The Bible says, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. He had enough courage to cause him to be realistic. He is saying, Lord, you call me, I'm ready, but you know who you're sending me to? Now, before you begin to think that Ananias is questioning the Lord, I want to tell you, just hold on just a moment. Now, think about it. If God came to you and told you to go share the gospel with someone who was slaughtering Christians, who was after you, would you have that courage to go? Would you not question? Would you not at least think about it? Honestly? Ananias wanted to look at what God wanted him to do. Was he afraid not to go? No, we're going to see later that he did what God told him to do. Brethren, we need to be informed. And I believe that Ananias, we can see something here about being informed. He knew what was going on. He knew who he was dealing with. He knew who he was going to face. Brethren, we need to be informed and know what is going on in the world and throughout the brotherhood to a certain extent. We need to know who is destroying the cause of Christ. Be it members of the Lord's church or non-members. By knowing that helps us to be prepared as to how we address them and what we need to do when we go to them. And so I think that Ananias wanted to be prepared. He wasn't denying, he wasn't questioning the Lord, but he understood what was before him. And what do I need to do in order to address this man? Now again, we're talking about the miraculous age. And sure, God made it clear that he was before Ananias. Ananias was not trying to forsake his work. I don't believe that. He was just making sure he was following the right course. Paul was a man persecuting and killing God's people, killing Christians. Brethren, we need to be realistic with our courage today. We need to study the situation. We need to make righteous judgments. We need to be willing to do whatever is needed, but make sure that what we are doing, that we're following the right course based on the Bible. And so I see this as Ananias making sure of himself that I heard you, Lord, but I want to make sure, you may see it differently, but I want to make sure that I'm following the right course. That I'm going to do, I have assessed the situation, it's before me, I'm going to approach it, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it the right way. I tell you, courage will muster, if you will, courage will cause us to contemplate, to think about, to analyze, and then to our best of our ability, draw the proper conclusion from the Word of God, how we're going to deal with any situation. God don't want us to go in blindly. That's why the elders have training classes. Be it Wednesday night, Saturday, gospel meetings, personal study. We want to be informed and ready when we go onto this world. We need to know the issues. Now, we don't need to sit and spend endless hours studying what every denomination is doing. I'm not suggesting that. But we need to be aware of what's going on in Akron. It may not be the same issues that are going on in South Carolina. But we need to be full aware. As people come into and among us, we need to know what's going on so that we can reach them. But something else I want you to notice about Ananias' courage. Ananias' courage caused him to be receptive to God's word. Look at verse 15 and 17, 15 through 17 in Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, 15 through 17. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. This man's courage caused him to respond to God's word. He was ready to do what was needed. But he was realistic about the situation. And when he realized, when he understood fully what was required of him, people, get it please, that God meant what he said, what was his response? He went. He was willing to do what God called him to do. Sometimes we begin to question things in our mind, asking ourselves, well, Lord, really? We all have done that. Ananias needed to remove himself from his thinking. Lord, you want me to go to this person who's killing the church? I want you to see something here in just a moment. Ananias will see something and something that happened later on through this conversion that Ananias had no idea that was going to take place. We need to understand that the Lord often has a higher purpose than our finite minds can grasp. It was Isaiah who said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but the water and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. When God tells us through his word to do a thing, you better rest assured it's going to get accomplished with you or without you. The question is, do we have enough courage to believe God? Do we have enough courage to respond when God calls us? We must study the word so that we may have, so when opportunities arise, we will be grounded and settled to the point of making righteous judgments and then be ready to do what God said. Think of the courage it took to go to Saul like God commanded. Think of Ananias' courage to go. When he heard from God, he knew that this is what God wanted him to do. The Bible says, so Ananias departed and enter the house. He got close to the man. How can he get close to this person who was a murderer? I suggest to you, courage. He was willing to do that because of his courage. But I want you to notice something else about his courage. You see, Ananias' courage helped cause great results. God is looking for people who are willing to get busy. Until we are ready, brethren, we're not going to see the results that we should see. You cannot depend on one man or woman to do it all. You as an individual must be ready to get busy. And when all of us are ready and willing to labor in the vineyard, we will see great results. The Bible says at verse 18 of Acts chapter 9, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But that all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on the name, which call on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bond unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now, as you look at this, notice the results. Because of his courage to go, here was a man who was baptized into the Lord. Here was a man that increased. Here was a man who began to preach the gospel. But what if Ananias had been afraid to say what Paul needed to hear? Listen to me now. What if he was afraid to say to Paul what he needed to hear? What if he had only spoken of the existence of God and left it like that? What if he had preached unity and diversity and leave it at that? What if he just talked about the love of Christ and leave it at that? What if he had told Paul he had a right to agree or disagree and leave it at that? What if he had said, you need to love Jesus, and then just walked off and leave it at that? What if Ananias had told Paul how great the law of Moses was and leave it at that? Oftentimes we go to people, and because of our lack of courage, we don't even get the words out of our mouth to tell them that we are Christians and we're a member of the Lord's church. We just tell people we believe in the Bible and we leave it at that. We don't try to go further with people. And why don't we? I submit to you, we don't have the courage that we need. People, brethren, we never know whom the person we convert will do. But God wants us to have courage to reach out to them. Ananias did not realize that Paul would go on 3 missionary trips that would convert hundreds, if not thousands. Ananias did not know this. He did not realize when he went to Paul that he was assisting the man who would write 13 books of the New Testament and possibly 14 if he wrote Hebrews. He didn't know this. But because he had the courage to go, his courage helped to cause great results. God wants us to have courage. The preacher may have courage, but sometimes the preacher don't have the courage that he needs. And he needs you to have courage. And if all of us have the type of courage that Ananias have, we will see great results. Do you want to see great results in this building? Next year, do you want to be greater in number than you are today? Do you want to be greater in your faith? Then I submit that we all need to have the courage to be busy. Just tell people. Have the courage to follow Matthew 13. That we are just to sow the seed. And God will do the rest. There's no telling what one of you may do. There's no telling what you may do when you convert someone. And what they may do when they are converted. But we need the courage to go. We need to understand by studying the life of this great man, we can see the kind of courage that pleases God. Brethren, good brethren, we need patience and tact. But we also need courage in this day and age. There are a lot of men being trained to know the book. There are a lot of men being trained to preach the word. But I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of men who don't have the courage that they need to carry that out. We can have all the training that we want. But if we don't have the courage to carry it out, then what are we? What are we? You could have the knowledge, but do you have the courage that God wants you to have to share the knowledge? I got to learn that. And you have to learn it as well. Elders need the courage to take stands and contend for the truth. They need that courage. For without it, anything will happen, and it usually does. Preachers need courage to open their mouth and preach the gospel, the purest gospel in its purest form. We need courage to do that. You know, members need courage to support elders and preachers in the proclamation of the truth. Do you have that courage to do that? To support the preacher, to support the elders? I know this congregation do. I believe it does. And I understand and I believe that you have the courage to help stand with other men, including myself, throughout the United States and wherever. We got to have this courage, and it takes courage to break away from whatever it is that is keeping us from Christ. It takes courage. Ananias was a man who had courage. He was a man who was realistic. He saw it before his eyes. He questioned it, but he made sure when God called, and he knew that God's will was going to be done, and God selected him to do it, he didn't put it off. He had enough courage to fulfill what God called him to do. The question that is before you tonight is, do you have that courage that God would want you to have? Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, this is a challenging lesson for all of us. For the simple fact is, there are many times in our lives that we don't have the courage that we need to confront error, to stand for truth. Although we know what is right and the way that we should go, we find ourselves backing up. And the reason for that is because we lack faith. Faith in your word. Faith in and truth. Many have turned away, Father, because they don't have courage. It's easy to get along with people. We don't want anyone to ridicule us, to speak evil of us. But the fact of the matter is this, that only those who stand, those who are willing to serve you no matter what, those who have the type of courage that you're calling upon men and women everywhere to have, will be the ones who are willing to fulfill what you have called us to fulfill in our lives. Let us all be reminded of the fact that the good book says in Revelation that in the lake of fire, there will be those who are faithless who will be separated from you. Those that are faithless are the ones who did not have the courage to stand when they needed to stand. And because of that, Father, they lost faith in you. We are ashamed of ourselves. Well, we're not standing as we ought to stand. No, we don't need to be arrogant. No, we don't need to try to ridicule people. But let us have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and have faith in him and what he has done. Let us have the courage that we need, Father, to stand even when the world is not standing. And so tonight, we pray for that. And we pray that we can continue to keep our nose in the book, studying so that we can build the strength and courage that we need to fulfill your will in our lives. For this is our prayer that we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. We now come to this portion of our time together to extend the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ, the salvation that he has offered mankind. As we turn in our hymn books to number 310, why keep Jesus waiting? I've asked this question. I had to answer this question, if you will, in my life before becoming a Christian. And really, there's no good answer. There's no good answer. Why keep Jesus waiting? What's the answer? There's no good answer. For you see, Jesus didn't wait to go to the cross. He was willing to go. He was willing to die for you and I. And all he asks is for us through faith to trust and believe in him and come unto him and be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Our Lord wants to work in our lives as Christians. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, why are we keeping him waiting? Why are we procrastinating? If we have sin in our life, repent of it. Confess it. Ask God to remove it from you and work hard to stay away from it. This is what it's all about. We don't need to keep him waiting. He wants us to be ready right now. But you know what? Sin keeps us away from God. We keep Jesus waiting because of sin. Well, do you have the courage, as our dear sister did last night, that came before us and said, you know, Lord, there's a distraction in my life. I don't want that. I want to serve you. So I'm not ashamed. I have the courage to confess that before many of my brethren. And I'm asking you tonight, do you have that same courage to do so? I hope you do. But perhaps you want to study more on these things or some other subject. We want to be here to study and talk with you about it. Wherever you are, always remember it's never too late. But you can use this opportunity right now as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.